Blog Talk Radio.
That we need the Lord every moment. Isn't it true that we need the Lord to engulf every area of our lives? You know, I'm a little under the weather, and I guess it's an understatement, but as I'm taking my medicine and having my chicken soup, which my wife is forcing me to eat. Wives love to play mommy. Well, I appreciate the extra care. But as I'm sitting in bed, as I'm going through my flu, and I'm battling chills, and it's the worst, you know. Having the flu is the worst. But as I lie there, I talk to the Lord. And I say, Lord, you know, I need you now more than ever. Your people need you more than ever. Your church needs you more than ever. And we are in an apostate hour, my dear brothers and sisters. We are in an apostate hour. You know, think about it. Think about it. The Antichrist hasn't even shown up yet. He has not put his mark, you know, the mark that will give you the power to buy and sell. He hasn't put his mark on people. But the church is filled with preachers. The church is filled with preachers who won't preach the truth only because they don't want to lose their paychecks. They don't want to lose their retirement package. they don't want to lose their parsonage. There's a lot of guys. A lot of guys who have already given in to the Antichrist. Why? Because if they preach against homosexuality, they'll lose their jobs. They'll lose their jobs. So in order to keep their paycheck, in order to keep their parsonage, in order to keep their pastoral retirement, they hush-hush. So in essence, they already have the mark of the beast. They have already been bought. And I know, I can't tell you, I mean, I don't know very many who will do like Moses. You know, the Bible says that Moses refused. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He turned his back on that title. He turned his back on those privileges, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what? I don't want to be part of Egypt. I don't want to be part of the pharaonic leadership who has the church in captivity. I'm going to do like Moses. And we should all do like Moses. We should renounce all worldly titles and choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Well, to all of the brothers and sisters tuning in from Canada and Norway and Germany and England and, of course, the U.S., I greet you in the precious name of the Lord. And I wanted to be in studio today. I wanted to talk to you, even if it's just for a little bit. Because, you know, every soldier is needed on the front line. You have a fever? Well, if you can stay on the front line for 15 minutes and relieve somebody, give us 15 minutes. Whatever you can give us. Because, you know, we don't have many people on the front lines. Our numbers on the front line are diminishing. So I'm here. I love being here. I love talking to you. I love talking about the things of the kingdom. And before I forget, don't forget to tune in on Friday. Sister Marie has a boatload of stuff to talk to us about. She's got stuff to talk, you know, stuff on Rome and what the Roman Catholic Church is doing. So, you know, during the week when I'm on, I don't cover any of that. I quite frankly don't have the time to do the research. Well, we have a spirited sister. I mean, she can find stuff that other people can't find. And it's important that we hear this stuff because, again, it confirms to us. It reminds us that we're in the last days and that Antichrist is at work. So Friday is a big broadcast for us. Every Friday, you know, I would call Friday the highlight of the week. The highlight of the week. So don't you miss Friday. Friday at 7 p.m. I'll be on with Sister Marie. I'll do some teaching, and then she'll come on and do some news reporting. And if you have questions, if you have a comment, if you have a contrary view, we encourage you to call in. It's a call-in broadcast. We offer you the opportunity to call us, come on the air, share your opinion, share your comment, share your opposing view. And all we're going to ask you is that you just behave yourself and be Christ-like and show respect. If you have an opposing view, that's fine. That's okay. That's okay. And just give us an opportunity to share with you the Word of God. And perhaps when you see the Word of God, when you listen to the Word of God, when you perceive the Word of God, you'll have a change of heart. That's what it's all about. So Friday here on the Reformation News broadcast, Sister Marie is going to be on. And as always, it is a treat. Our people love that Friday broadcast. They just love it. They can't get enough of it. So I'm looking forward to it. And today I want to talk to you about bishops and Nehushtan church bishops. As you know, the second book is out. The second book is out, which is Nehushtan church bishops. And I like to do like a contrast analysis. I like to talk about what does jackass bishops bring to the table and what does Nehushtan bishops bring to the table. What is the focus of one book and what is the focus of another book? Although they're talking about the same thing, the Roman Catholic invasion of the church. They're talking about the same thing. The same thing. So now, I have a little chart that I prepared, and I would love to get to you. I have a little chart that I prepared, and it's yours for the asking. It's yours for the asking. All you have to do is email me at jackassbishopsnews. Jackassbishops, plural, news, at gmail.com. And I would like to get this little outline to you, because in this outline, it shows you the Satan's seven-part plan to destroy the black church, or any church, or the Church of Christ. But since Jackass Church Bishops and Nehushtan Church Bishops is about Satan's ongoing leavening of the black church, I titled it that way. So there are 7 points. Satan has a 7-point plan to destroy the black church. Five come from the book Jackass Church Bishops. And 2 of the points come from the book Nehushtan Church Bishops. So this is easy to understand. And so what I did here was I listed all 7, but I color-coded them so that those in red, those points in red come out of the book Jackass Church Bishops, and those points in black belong to Nehushtan Church Bishops. So it's an outline with 7 points in it, 7 points, and I would love to send it to you because both books are connected even though they have different topics. As you know, these books are thematic. In other words, each book has its own theme, and the author stuck to that theme. He did not deviate from the theme. He stayed within the theme. So each book is thematic, but they are also interconnected because they have to do with the Roman Catholic invasion of the African-American church. So in this little outline that I have, there are 7 points, and it is by this little outline that I'm going to be able to show you how these books compare and how they contrast. So email me again at jackassbishopsnews@gmail.com, jackassbishopsnews@gmail.com, and I'll get this little outline to you. Now, don't worry about the outline now. Just listen now, and then when you get the outline, you can re-listen to the broadcast again, and you can go over it. But just for now, let's just listen to the broadcast, and if you want to take notes, you can get pen and paper, and you can start writing this down. Now, again, both books are connected. One is a prequel. The Jackass Church Bishops is a prequel, and the sequel is Nehushtan Church Bishops. Now, you don't have to read one in order to read the other. Like I said, each book is thematic. They have their own theme. But as you read them, and you can read them in any order, it doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't make a difference. It's just that this is the way the books are being released or rolled out. that's the order in which they're being rolled out. But because they are thematic and they all have their own theme, you can read them independently. But in showing you how these books differ and how they are similar, well, they're similar in the sense that they're talking about the same thing, the Roman Catholic invasion of the church. That's what they have in common. Now, there are 5 points. There are five key points to jackass church bishops. Five key points. And the outline that I'm looking in front of me, like I said, it's highlighted in red. So I would encourage you to write number one. What is the number one thing that we see in the book Jackass Church Bishops? Well, the number one thing we see is infiltration. The author, Moses Henry Jones, talks about how Satan desires to infiltrate our church. Satan's goal is to infiltrate your church. Infiltrate it. Much like the Greeks, tried to infiltrate Troy. And that's why the author brings up the story of the Trojan horse. And the author lets us see, Moses Henry Jones allows us to see, that the Trojan horse that Satan is using to infiltrate the black church is something called episcopacy. Episcopacy is the title of the bishop, the office of the bishop. That's what episcopacy is. It comes from the Greek word episkopos, from the word overseer. So Satan gets into our black churches because he says to our bishops, you know, guys, I know you have the title of a bishop, but you don't look like a bishop. You're dressed like a common Joe. You just, you know, you have a suit and a tie like everybody else. But if you're really a bishop, you should have a distinguishing outfit. You should have a distinguishing outfit. You should really look like a king. So that's why you'll notice that all of these new bishops, they have these Roman Catholic outfits, very expensive stuff. The ring, the gold cross that hangs on their neck, the crozier. I mean, all of the jewelry and all of the outfits are extremely, extremely expensive. So Satan says to these dopes, he says, you know, you guys are shortchanging yourself. You're really, really, really shortchanging yourself because you're really bishops, but nobody knows it, nobody recognizes it, and you don't get the royal treatment that you ought to get. You ought to be a bishop like in the Roman Catholic Church. So that's how Satan gets in the door. He sweet talks your pastor. The pastor drinks the Kool-Aid, and I want to be prominent. I want to be recognized. I want people to honor me. So that's how he gets in. So number one is infiltration. Now, between number one and number two, I want you to leave a pretty big space. Now, number two, and only because you're going to insert something in between number one and number two. So now number two, again, you're allowing space between number one and number two because you're going to insert something there. But we're not going to insert it now. So number two would be paganization. 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 Well, paganization is a makeover. The church is being made over, your local church, your black church, your African American church, your fellowship is undergoing a makeover. And the makeover is called paganization. And what it is it is a series of man-made doctrines or man-made traditions that overtake your church and cause it to change its worship. It causes it to change the preaching. It causes it to change ministry ranks. I mean, that's paganization. You're actually bringing things from other religions. And well, what are other religions? Well, other religions are a combination of man-made doctrines or traditions of men. That's what other religions are. Pagan religions have they are a mixture of man-made doctrines and traditions of men. So what the Roman Catholic Church has done is it's borrowed a lot. It's borrowed so much from the pagan religions and has brought it into the Roman Catholic Church, into the worship, into the singing, into the preaching, into the ministerial ranks. And when the Roman Catholic Church infiltrates your church, then your church becomes paganized. So first of all, Satan has to infiltrate the church, and the gift that he's giving to the church, more specifically to your pastor, like the Greeks gave the Trojan horse as a gift to the people of Troy, the gift that the devil is giving, offering, bequeathing your pastor is episcopacy. And your pastor's just soaking it up. Why? Because it focuses on him. It makes him larger than life. So your pastor lets the devil in, and once the devil gets in there, what does he do? He brings his bag of tricks. One of the tricks in the bag is paganization. So he gives your church a makeover. Now you're lighting candles. Now you have beads. Now you're chanting. I mean, you're doing a bunch of stuff that you don't even know. Where did this stuff come from? Well, it comes from other pagan religions. So number two is paganization. Number three is demonization. Because pagan religions is a combination of man-made doctrines and doctrines of demons. See, that's the mixture. Yeah. There are some man-made doctrines in paganism mixed with doctrines of demons. So both depraved men and depraved demons come up with these teachings. So it's demonization. Now your church is flooded with demons. So you have paganization and demonization. So one is infiltration. Two is paganization. Three is demonization. And number four would be contamination. Now, when you are contaminated, when you are spiritually contaminated, like all you have to do is read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through chapter 7, verse 1. Again, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through chapter 7, verse 1, Paul says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then at the end, he says, cleansing yourselves of all filth of the flesh and of the spirit. So when you yoke yourself to pagans and to demons, you wind up being contaminated. You wind up being spiritually soiled. Now, people who suffer this contamination, they have religion. When you look at these bishops, like Bishop Eddie Long, who just passed away, he had a form of religion. Well, yes. What do you mean? Well, he was dressed up like a bishop. I mean, he would put up his bishop outfit, and so he had a form of godliness, but no holiness. He was a hypocrite. So contamination means that your outward shell presents itself as you being a holy person, but inwardly, you are a contaminated human with contaminated desires, contaminating others in your act. So you have infiltration, paganization, demonization, contamination, and then number five, once you become contaminated like Sodom and Gomorrah, when you become exceedingly wicked, like the book of Genesis says in Genesis 13:3, and the men of Sodom and of Gomorrah were exceedingly wicked before the Lord. When you become that contaminated, then what follows? What is, well, annihilation. Then God rains down fire and brimstone. So our brother in the book Jackass Bishop shows, documents, how Satan tries to infiltrate the church. Once he infiltrates the church, he'll paganize the church. Once he paganizes the church, he'll demonize the church. Then he'll contaminate the church. And then ultimately that church will self-destruct. Or God will remove its candlestick. That's what God does. So those are the five. Those are the five key points. Those are the five key points of Satan's master plan to infiltrate the church. But there's two missing because it's a seven. It's a seven-point master plan. It's a seven-point master plan. Now, in between one and two, remember, I told you to leave a space. In between infiltration and paganization, you have to insert something. And this something comes to us by means of the book Nehushtan Bishops. So now Nehushtan Bishops is going to make its two key contributions. And when you add the 5 points from Jackass Church Bishop to the two of Nehushtan Church Bishop, then you have the seven-point plan. And that's why I want you to get this outline so that you can see it. So now, in between 1 and 2, I want you to put 1A, 1A, 1A. Now, 1A is elevation, elevation. So notice, something happens. As soon as Satan comes in, once your pastor opens the door, once your pastor allows Satan to come into the church and he allows Satan cons the pastor's mind, then there's something that happens to your pastor. Out of nowhere, he'll start calling himself bishop elect. Anyone that you see in the church today who goes around calling themselves bishop elect means that they've been visited by the devil. Anyone who goes around. And there's ton of people. There's ton of people today who, and they undergo this title for 1 year. It's a 1 year probation period according to the Code of Canon Law, which is the Roman Catholic manual on how one should do things. So in between infiltration and paganization comes 1A, which is elevation. Your bishop becomes bishop-elect for 1 year, followed by being bishop enthroned. That's right. He's put on a throne. He receives a bishop's chair. So now, you see, once Satan enters and once he elevates your pastor, then he says to the pastor, well, you've been paganized. I gave you a makeover. But Satan says, this thing is not going to last. You've been elevated. I promised you that I would elevate you and make you a big shot. You're a big shot now. But this is not going to last unless you paganize the entire church. So that's why infiltration first. Satan gets his foot in the door. Then elevation follows. He cons your pastor, and your pastor drinks the bishop-elect Kool-Aid and eventually seeks to be enthroned on high. That's elevation. That's 1A. Now, once he's elevated, your bishop is going to need worshipers. And in Protestant churches, in Reformed churches, we don't worship man. We don't worship. We don't elevate anybody. We don't permit that, much less we don't worship them. So now your pastor's been elevated. Now, what good does it do him to be elevated if he has no worshipers? That's where point number two comes in. That's where the church needs to be paganized. And that's why you see Roman Catholics, they have no problem bowing before any statue. You put any statue in front. You put a statue of the Archangel Michael in front of them, they'll bow. You put a statue of Mary, they'll bow. You put a statue of whatever saint they worship or prefer, they'll bow. They'll bow before the images of the martyrs. I mean, they will bow to anything. Why? Because they've been fully paganized and their leadership has been elevated. And so you can't have worship. Now, you can be elevated, but no one's going to worship you unless they have undergone full paganization. Now we're talking. It does you no good to be elevated if you don't have people clamoring for you, worshiping you, wanting to kiss your ring, wanting to kiss your hand, wanting to get into your graces. Wanting to get into your graces. So infiltration is one. 1A is elevation, but this 1A elevation is part of the book, Nehushtan Bishops. Number two, paganization. Number three, demonization. Number four, contamination. Now, there's a 4A. There's a 4A. Once the church has been infiltrated, once the bishop has been elevated, once the members have been paganized, once the members have been demonized, once the members have been contaminated, then comes deification. Now, the bishop goes from being a mere man to now being a god. Being a god, deification. So these are the two points. Elevation first, and in the beginning, no, they're not drinking the Kool-Aid that you're a god. They're just, in the beginning, they just believe that you are an elevated leader. Elevated above everybody else. But in time, as the leaven of paganism and demonization goes throughout the whole church, they wind up deifying their bishop. They wind up worshiping their bishop. That's when their bishop becomes a Nehushtan. Email me at jackassbishopnews@gmail.com. I want to get this off to you because I want you to see it. Everything in red belongs to Jackass Bishops. Everything in black belongs to Nehushtan Church Bishops. And so, we cannot have any other God but God. But under this pagan system, your bishop winds up becoming God right before your very eyes. And you start rendering to him the worship that ought to go specifically to the Lord. Now, another thing that we need to talk about today is that the book Jackass Bishop talks about the fairy tale. See, there's a major, major fairy tale in the church today, major fairy tale. And the fairy tale is called apostolic succession. In other words, when Satan comes selling your pastor on episcopacy, remember that's the Trojan horse. What makes Satan's version so appealing to your pastor is that he says, you know, when you go through this process, you can actually trace your lineage back to Peter. And if you can trace it back to Peter, that'll really make you legitimate. Because right now, you're not really legitimate. But if you undergo this process, if you go undergo this laying on of hands, if you allow us to elevate you, if you allow us to designate you bishop-elect for 1 year, and then you undergo this elevation process, then and only then will you be able to trace your ministry right back to the Apostle Peter. And that fairy tale, that big lie is called apostolic succession. That's what it's called. So I want to read to you from the book, from the back cover of Jackass Bishops. And let me read to you the write-up of the book. It says, Moses Henry Jones has written a highly provocative work. No serious Christian can afford to ignore, and no member of the Joint College of African American Bishops can flippantly dismiss or ever discredit. Jackass Church Bishops is an impeccably researched book which will prove to be an embarrassing read for the thousands of African-American clergy who have made the asinine choice to join the ministerial ranks of Mystery Babylon and now bray Roman Catholic gibberish 24/7 like a crazed generation of certified mental cases. The 13 riveting chapters in this book are satirically prophetic, deriding all phony prelates and bogus clerics who hee-haw the fairy tale, of apostolic succession, hand out worthless certificates of episcopacy, and trot about dressed in exquisite purple and scarlet-colored robes, signaling to the world that they are now Kool-Aid drinking and serving stooges of pagan Rome. So I just wanted to read that part where these nuts now, who are bishops under Rome, they go about telling people that they are they succeed the Apostle Peter and that they have a certificate of episcopacy. A certificate of episcopacy is a document that shows all the names, and of course, they're the last name on the list. But it shows all the names, and that will lead them back to St. Peter. So this is a huge parchment. This is a huge, huge piece of paper. Well, you know, parchment, which is animal skins, lamb skins. Okay, so that's the fairy tale. And that's what, you know, when they get this document, during this elevation service, I mean, they feel real important because now, you know, there's other people in the audience who can't make the claim, but they can. And it's because of this claim, because of apostolic succession, because of this fairy tale, now they think that they're better than anybody else. But you see, it's all a lie, a satanic lie, a lie spawned in hell. So, let me play some audio for you. And here we have, this is Lexi Allen. She's doing a broadcast. The broadcast is called Illegitimate Bishops. And I want her to introduce her three guests. And please write their names down.
Well, I want to thank you all for coming and taking out time in your busy, busy schedules. All of you are pastors and bishops in your own right and have your own churches, and I just want to thank you.
Well, it's just good to be here, Lexi, just to be able to share with you and the great job you're doing. We're proud of you.
Thank you, Richard.
All right.
Well, I want to introduce everybody that's in the panel today. Of course, we have Bishop Hutchins down here, and your church is called Kingdom Now Ministries, right here in Atlanta.
That's right, in Norcross, Georgia.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Bishop Lester Love, YouTube favorite. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Yes, absolutely. City of Love in New Orleans.
Yes.
Doing it big. I love
God
it.
God has been good.
Yeah.
Yeah, God has been good.
Yes, he has.
Like Bishop Morton says in the back, you know, whenever Lexi calls, you just drop everything.
Whatever. And I'm so glad to have Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton here.
Yes, he is.
Yes, changing a generation right here in Atlanta. Two locations, right. And then you're also in
New Orleans.
With a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful first lady.
The love of my life, Pastor D, we call her. Yes.
You better go ahead.
All right, so there you have it. You have Paul Morton, who is at the head of this organization. He's the main bishop. Then you have a junior bishop, Lester Love, and another junior bishop, sidekick bishop, Gary Hutchins. Now, I fast-forwarded the audio, because now I want you to hear, Gary Hutchins. He's going to tackle the issue of apostolic succession. He's going to talk about that. So I want you to listen now. This is Gary Hutchins. This is a sidekick bishop. This is not Paul Morton. This is not the head bishop. This is his sidekick. And he's talking about, he's making the argument for apostolic succession. Let's listen.
What is the process to becoming a bishop?
Well, in our fellowship.
In your fellowship.
When a person is going to be considered to be a bishop.
Okay.
There are recommendations made by the regional bishop. Those recommendations go before the bishop's council, and then they enter training. Now, the training is about 40 hours of intense training, where we cover everything from the origination of the bishop, where it all came from biblically, through Catholicism, on through even.
Did you hear that? He tells you. We're part of the Roman Catholic Church. He just told you. And nobody blinked. Nobody said, what? He just told you. What I've been saying about, remember the five-part plan? Infiltration? Remember the point we gave you? Well, he's already telling you, infiltration, yeah, Roman Catholic Church. We open the door. We let them in. We're part of them. Doesn't hide it. It's quite open about it. I'll play it again.
Bishop Martin started all of this. Woman has a covering.
Theology. Origination of the bishop, where it all came from biblically. Now, the training is about 40 hours of intense training, where we cover everything from the origination of the bishop, where it all came from biblically, through Catholicism, on through even full gospel.
In other words, full gospel got there. Legitimacy by hooking up with the Roman Catholic Church. And nobody here, nobody there said boo. But here's more.
We talk about the bishop and his theology. We study doctrinal things, soteriology, pneumatology. We study all of those different ologies so that the bishop, because one of the roles of a bishop is to be able to rightly divide and rightly teach those that he oversees.
Okay.
We call it, in the Latin word, is inquisitor nator, a defender of the faith.
Hmm.
And if a bishop cannot defend the faith theologically, then he really does not need to be a bishop.
Bishop Lexi, how quick did you get your papers?
Now, that 18-month period that you're referring to, if a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation, 18 months, we scrutinize that person to see that they have gone through proper consecration.
Because they could be a bishop in another Reformation,
they
right?
Could have
they
been
could
be a bishop in another Reformation.
But you do what? They come to you and say, "Yes, I, you know, got my, you know, bishopric." Is that what you call it?
We're gonna observe that you are doing the work, because the work precedes the office.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing the work, then we're not just going to accept the fact that you were consecrated by some other Reformation. We want to see for 18 months that you're doing the work, that you're participating with us in doing the work, and then after that 18-month period, we're going to confirm that you were legitimately consecrated.
And what do you mean by legitimately?
That means that you can trace your apostolic succession back to the original apostles.
Did you hear that? And this is a Roman Catholic fairy tale, which they have adopted. And that's what makes them special over everybody else, that they can trace back their lineage to the Apostle Peter. Well, if he's going to use them, you know, the Roman Catholic Church has several lists. These are lists. They have several lists because no Roman Catholic historian has ever agreed on one list. There's doubt there's debate as to which list is legitimate. So the Roman Catholic Church in the Roman Catholic Encyclopedia will give you several lists. To this date, there are 265 popes, Pope Francis being the 265th pope. And Peter, according to the Roman Catholic Church, Peter being the first pope. So this guy says we can actually show how we form part of the Roman Catholic Church, and we can trace it back all the way to Peter. The problem is, my brothers and sisters, my problem is that apostolic succession is the invention of Satan, and that when you look at the, there are numerous books, numerous biographies on the popes. Numerous. I mean, there's volumes and volumes and volumes on the lives of the popes. And when you look at 265 popes, when you go through the entire list, there are, I would say out of the 265, there are 200 that we can say for sure were scandalous men. 200 that we can say for sure were scandalous men. So this guy is proud. He's ecstatic over the fact that he belongs. He can trace his lineage back to Peter. But this lineage is a criminal enterprise, and that's why the book Nehushtan Bishops is so important, because Nehushtan Bishop exposes the fairy tale that is apostolic succession. The author did a fantastic job, in giving you the history of the bishopric, but more than that, he actually gives you artwork. He shows you how this is an impossibility and how this is of the devil. It's not of God. It's not of the Lord. So this is where this fairy tale, it's a complete lie. But these guys are banking on the fact that they are legitimate bishops because they can trace themselves back to Peter through the Roman Catholic Church. Now, let me play that again. I want you to hear it, and then we'll move on to another piece of audio.
Yes.
If a person joins our fellowship from another Reformation, 18 months we scrutinize that person to see that they have gone through proper consecration.
Because they could be a bishop in another Reformation,
they
right?
Could have
they
been
could
be a bishop in another Reformation.
But you do what? They come to you and say, "Yes, I, you know, got my, you know, bishopric." Is that what you call it?
We're going to observe that you are doing the work, mm-hmm. because the work precedes the office.
Yes. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing the work, then we're not just going to accept the fact that you were consecrated by some other Reformation. We want to see for 18 months that you're doing the work, that you're participating with us in doing the work,
mm-hmm.
and then after that 18-month period, we're going to confirm that you were legitimately consecrated.
And what do you mean by legitimately?
That means that you can trace your apostolic succession back to the original apostles. In our Reformation, we trace our succession back to the Apostle Peter.
All the way back?
All the way back.
Mm-hmm. So this person laid hands on you, and that person got laid hands on and was consecrated by this person, and you
exactly.
can trace it back.
We trace our consecration back through the Apostle
Peter.
Oh, wow. It's called apostolic succession.
Wow.
And even when Bishop Morton, one of the things that we say in our fellowship, guard your right hand, because people want this hand laid upon them because they know there is succession in this hand.
Okay.
When I consecrate or when I lay hands on another person to be consecrated as a bishop, it's not just some casual act.
Wow.
This hand traces its succession back through biblical times to the Apostle Peter.
Now, I have called out this gentleman. I have asked him repeatedly. I've tried every way possible to get him a message to see if he would debate me, because I want him to show me the list. And then what I'm going to do to that list is I'm going to circle every name where you had an adulterer pope, a fornicating pope, a murderous pope. Because when you look at all of these popes, like I said, we have enough information, I would say, about on 200 of them. And these popes were nothing but thugs. So to trace yourself back to Peter using the Roman Catholic connection is diabolical. But you see, he's talking to a woman here who doesn't know anything. What does she know? But I've been trying to get Bishop Jerry Hutchins to debate me, because, like I said, I would say to him, give me your list. And once he gave me his list, then I would start circling names on the list. And then I would start saying, okay, this man did this, 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 and this. Folks, and I'm not talking about little stuff. I'm talking about major stuff. And I'm going to say, did you want that man laying hands on you? Would you want this man laying hands on you? Would you want this man laying hands? No, you wouldn't. No, you would not. No, you would not. So it's a fairy tale. It is a fairy tale. A fairy tale. Now, having said that, let me play here a clip. Someone did a fantastic job in doing some research on Paul Morton. Paul Morton is the gentleman sitting there with Bishop Lester Love and Bishop Jerry Hutchins. Paul Morton is the big shot there. He is the one of the, there are four men who established this joint college of African-American Pentecostal bishops, four men. Wilbert McKinley, who is now deceased, Paul Morton, J. Delano Ellis, and Roy E. Brown. Those are the four men, Roy E. Brown, Wilbert McKinley, J. Delano Ellis, and Paul Morton. These are the four pillars, the four men who established the joint college of Pentecostal African-American bishops. Now, here is Paul Morton. Here is someone teaching. Remember, Bishop Jerry Hutchins noted that they go through 40 hours of intense training. Well, here is one of Paul Morton's stooges teaching on this apostolic succession and how Paul Morton can trace his lineage into the Roman Catholic Church. Let's listen to this.
Does it make sense? So you can either be a bishop over a geographical area or a bishop over an administrative department, right? So you're either Diocesan Baptist Church Fellowship. Appointment to the Holy Office of Episcopacy or Bishop is solely in the hands of the International Presiding Bishop. He's the one who makes the call, okay? Unfortunately, in many churches and denominations, there seems to be a proliferation of the title bishop without any regard to the historic manner in which the office has been obtained in the past. Mm-hmm. Rights and powers of bishops are able to set things in order. They have jurisdiction, right? And what is jurisdiction? Two words, juris meaning legal, diction meaning speaking. They have jurisdiction. They have the right to speak legally. When a bishop says, this is supposed to be a certain way, that's the word, that's the law. Why? Because they dictate legally. How? Voluntary submission. Okay? Factors in our use in the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship, title bishop. Bishop Warner's personal history, comes out of the Church of God in Christ, even though St. Stephen's was a traditional Baptist church, his roots are Kojic, which had bishops. And is consistent with biblical terminology, as opposed to traditional Baptist. The continuity, Roman continuity, established via the primacy of the Bishop of Rome, unbroken chain. Now, here we go. The most direct line of apostolic succession is that of the Roman Church, but Whole Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship can claim it from a variety of lineages. However, we also enjoy direct succession. Here's what happened. Okay? Pope Pius the 11th.
Did you hear that? They're hitching their wagon. They're hitching their wagon to Pope Pius the 11th, who was Pope from 1922 to 1939. That's when they get grafted in. Okay? And now, like I said before, you start there. You start with Pope Pius the 11th, and you work all the way back to Peter, and you have all of these demonic popes. You have all of these carnal popes who used to run whorehouses and bordellos and had illegitimate children. So this nut is running this seminar, and he's telling people, look, we trace ourselves back all the way through the Roman Catholic Church. But when you read the book Nehushtan Bishops, our brother Moses Henry Jones does a fabulous job of showing you that apostolic succession is nothing more than a long snake. The head is Satan, and at the tail end, your bishop. It's a long snake body. At the head of it is Satan wearing a crown, and at the tail is your bishop.
The Whole Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship can claim it from a variety of lineages. However, we also enjoy direct succession. Here's what happened, okay? Pope Pius the 11th, I forget what his Italian name was, is Gugolacci Giugolassi or something like that, or whatever, something Italian, right? But he took on the name Pope Pius the 11th. Pope Pius the 11th was the Roman, the Bishop of Rome, because that's all the Pope is. He's just the Bishop of Rome, right? So Pope Pius the 11th consecrated in 1924 Bishop Carlo Duarte Costa. In 1954, Bishop Carlo Duarte Costa consecrated Bishop Frederico Y. Duran. In 1990, Bishop Frederico Duran consecrated Bishop George Stallings, and in 1992, Bishop George Stallings consecrated Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton. Unbroken line, apostolic succession, Bishop Paul Morton was consecrated by Stallings, who had been consecrated by Duran, who had been consecrated by Costa, who had been consecrated by Pope Pius XI, who had been consecrated in the Roman Catholic Church all the way back to the Apostle Peter.
There you have it. They don't hide it. But again, when you trace back, and by the way, Pope Pius the 11th is the 258th pope. 250. So that's when they don't hook up at 265 with Pope Francis. They go to Pope Pius the 11th, who, according to the Roman Catholic catalog, he's Pope number 258. He was Pope from 1922 to 1939. So you heard the guy. I mean, he'll tell you. We go all the way back. I mean, we can trace it back to Peter through the Roman Catholic Church. That's why that bishop, Jerry Hutchins, he was telling Lexi, look, we can trace ourselves back to Peter. But that is a fairy tale. And what's even worse than a fairy tale is that most of the men in that line, they were perverts. They were infidels. They were heretics. They were ungodly men. But you see, they claim now that they can go all the way. That's why now they wear the Roman Catholic outfits, because they are tied to the Roman Catholic Church by succession. So this is where we go from being a jackass, because you're stupid. You're stupid. See, a jackass bishop is a stupid bishop. You have to be stupid. You have to be foolish. Remember the four characteristics. There are four characteristics, four to a jackass bishop. If you read the book Jackass Bishops, one is foolish. You see, foolish means to be mindless, to be unintelligent, to be idiotic, to be witless, to be brainless. That's what stupid means. Rather, that's what foolish means. So you go from being foolish / crazy to stupid / dumb. And the brother proved that these jackass bishops fulfilled the first two. They're foolish, crazy. They're stupid, dumb. And then what's the third one? To be a jackass is to be obstinate. You give these guys the evidence. You give them the proof. You show them where they're in error. And they say, I don't care. I'm a bishop. They're obstinate. They're stubborn. They're unyielding. They're inflexible. They're unbending. They're intractable. I mean, they're pigheaded. They're self-willed. They're strong-willed. They're headstrong. You show them the evidence. I can show these guys all the bad popes in the line. We don't care. He laid hands on him. And as long as I can trace myself back to Peter, that's all I care about. Yeah, but they were all no good. They were all good for nothings. They were all instruments of Satan. They were all little antichrist. They don't care.
Unbroken line of apostolic succession. You don't have a consecrated Bishop Paul Sylvester Morgan. Duarte Costa, the name Pope Pius, but the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship who claim it from a variety of lineages. However, we also enjoy direct succession. Here's what happened. Okay? Pope Pius the 11th, I forget what his Italian name was, is Gubalacci, Jugalassi, or something like that, or whatever, something Italian, right? But he took on the name Pope Pius the 11th. Pope Pius the 11th was the Roman, the Bishop of Rome, because that's all the Pope is. He's just a Bishop of Rome, right? So, Pope Pius the 11th consecrated in 1924 Bishop Carlo Duarte Costa. In 1954, Bishop Carlo Duarte Costa consecrated Bishop Frederico Y. Duran. In 1990, Bishop Frederico Duran consecrated Bishop George Stallings. And in 1992, Bishop George Stallings consecrated Bishop Paul Sylvester Morgan. Unbroken line, apostolic succession, Bishop Paul Morton was consecrated by Stallings, who had been consecrated by Duran, who had been consecrated by Costa, who had been consecrated by Pope Pius XI, who had been consecrated in the Roman Catholic Church all the way back to the Apostle Peter. Unbroken line of apostolic succession. You don't have authority unless you're under authority, and if you can't trace your authority back to one of the 12 apostles, you are an illegitimate bishop.
Wow. That's mind-boggling. That's kind of stupid. That's what it is. It's asinine. That's why the book Jackass Bishops. Now, here is the man who ordained Paul Morton. Let me just this is Bishop Stallings. And I want you to hear Bishop Stallings' words as he proclaims Sun Yung Moon to be the Messiah, okay? Stallings, who laid hands on Paul Morton. This guy Stallings claims that Sun Yung Moon is the Messiah. It gets worse. Okay. It's coming up. Okay, this is Stallings. This is the Roman Catholic bishop who laid hands on Paul Morton to give him the Roman Catholic line of succession. Listen to this nut.
That it was in my bones to always be Catholic and also to be a Catholic priest. from my earliest and fondest childhood memories. To be more sensitive to the needs, especially the spiritual and cultural needs of African Americans, and allow us to play a creative role in presenting Catholicism in a light that would invite others to join it, other blacks, because in the United States of America, it is purported that there are 2 million African Americans who are Roman Catholic out of 52 million.
Out of 52 million,
and there are only 300 blacks who are Roman Catholic priests out of 42,000.
Wow.
So you could see that
the numbers are startling,
and that Catholicism, for the most part, was not really or has not been an attractive faith expression for African Americans. So my approach was to make African Americans more responsive to Roman Catholicism by making Roman Catholicism more palatable to the spiritual needs of African Americans.
Now, I know that you're not shy about proclaiming to large public audiences your very conviction that Reverend Moon is the Messiah, the Lord of the Second Advent, the Second Coming of Christ. What led you to arrive at that conclusion?
Now, this is the interviewer, and he's asking Bishop Stallings, you don't hide the fact that you declare Sun Myung Moon, Sun Myung Moon, to be the Messiah, the one who was supposed to the second coming of Christ. You don't deny it. Now this is the same nut. You're going to hear him confess that Sun Myung Moon is Messiah. This is the same nut that laid hands on Paul Morton, and Paul Morton is—he's ecstatic. I mean, it's like a badge of honor. Stallings laid hands on me, and somebody laid hands on Stallings, and as a result, we can trace our all the way back to Peter. But listen to the guy who laid hands on Paul Morton. Listen who his Jesus. Listen to who his Jesus is.
One has to first of all understand that my calling to ordained ministry
Well, I think, not all of our viewers are aware of all of your activities and support together with Reverend Moon. What has impressed you most about Reverend Moon's lifestyle and leadership? What is it about his life that has made the biggest impression on you?
Father Moon has exemplified the mind and heart of Jesus the Christ in everything that he has done since I have known him, that to me, he is the most visible and tangible manifestation of Jesus in what he says and what he does.
Isn't that crazy? Well, that's why this apostolic succession thing is for the birds. For the birds. Saints, I want you to email me at jackassbishopsnews@gmail.com. Request the little outline that I shared with you, because as you can see, my brothers and sisters, we go from jackass bishops to Nehushtan bishops. We're going from men who have opened the door to Satan, allowed the church to be paganized, have allowed the church to be demonized, have allowed the church to be contaminated, and now await for their church members to worship them as little gods. As little gods. Email me at jackassbishopnews@gmail.com. I want to send you the outline. You'll be able to look at it and then re-listen to the program, and you'll be able to see it in a better light. Don't forget, this Friday, Sister Marie's going to be with us. You don't want to miss that broadcast. She has a ton of news she's going to be sharing with us. And don't forget to order your copy of Jackass Church Bishops and the Houston Church Bishops. Go to the website. Go to PaganBishops.com, PaganBishops.com. Click on the donate button. It's $15 for each book. When you donate, a PDF copy will be emailed to you. I love you in the Lord. Pray my strength. I plan to be back tomorrow, Thursday, and, of course, with Sister Marie on Friday. God bless you. Love you in Jesus. I want to leave you with this song. I want to leave you with this hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Don't turn your eyes to any man. Don't turn your eyes to any bishop. Don't turn your eyes to any healer. Don't turn your eyes to any prophet. Turn your eyes strictly to Jesus. I love you. God bless.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. In the
in the Lord.